WGCH.com anywhere. WGCH News Center time is 7:51, and on Thursdays of every month at the, whatever this is, the third or fourth, we have Stephen Meskers joins us. He gives us a legislative update. Welcome, Stephen. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you very much, Jim. I appreciate the call.
All right, let me ask you first, obviously this big topic ever going, the transportation plan to put tolls in. The governor wants to put just truck tolls in now. It's now officially delayed until the after January?
It looks like a special session. The last I heard of it was that I expect a session in January, which would be a special session somewhere around the 20th of January.
Okay.
That issue.
And will it be dead on arrival? What are your thoughts?
Well, it's a mixed bag. I personally think that the transportation plan of $21 billion is going to require some funding. I'm concerned that it comes out all in bond format, so I'm hoping that we get somewhere on the tolling issue. The tolling issue looks to be exclusively on trucks. That will qualify us with federal aid on the program. So that will save our residents some fair amount of money in the financing. So I would be a supporter of it.
And obviously it's going to raise a lot less money than the original tolling for all cars plan. Does it raise enough money to make it worth all the political hardship to get there?
I'm hoping it does. I'm waiting to hear the full details of the plan. I think the tolling was looking to be limited in terms of the tenor of about 10 years. I don't know if this takes us out to 15 years on truck tolling to be able to pay for those infrastructure improvements. So I'll be sitting in bonding, revenue, and finance to get the story and to find out exactly how that cash flow works.
Go ahead. Do you see a path to get to bipartisanship on tolling?
I'm not sure about that. The Republicans have been resolute on their issue on tolling, but I don't see the plan holding water of raiding the rainy day fund to the tune of $1 billion, $1.5 billion. I think that is fraught with danger. So I would like to see us figure out a plan that is financeable, that isn't going to put an unfair burden, particularly on the Fairfield residents and more particularly on the residents of Greenwich.
All right. You've also maintained your RTM seat, busy guy. Any thoughts on the passing of the POCD, the Plan of Conservation and Development?
My hat's off to Marguerite Albin and the group there. I think they've done a masterful job in trying to present a vision for our future growth for Greenwich. So I was glad to see it was resoundingly approved. I was happy to hear that they're going to put it under review every 2 years, because I think the plan has to be a little more reactive to issues of development and issues of growth, so that the residents of Greenwich can express themselves and get the type of protection to their streetscape that they're looking for, and to make sure that development happens in a way that's well supported.
All right, and pension reform you want to talk about?
Well, I'm looking right now at energy reform first, and there my hat's off to PURA. We've engaged in a review of the third-party energy suppliers, and it looks like it's a preliminary ruling out to bar third-party energy suppliers from the energy assistance market. The study from PURA came out indicating that over the last 2 years, it's about $7.2 million of surcharges, so it's roughly $3.6 million a year in our energy assistance money that's going to third-party energy suppliers. It's one, I think, a waste of taxpayer dollars to allow our people on energy assistance to essentially be overcharged for their energy. And it's going to either provide us with a net saving of $3 million a year, or it will enable us to further benefit or help those in need of energy assistance. So it'll either broaden the scope slightly or will save us money. And either way, it's a more efficient way for the state to operate. So my hat's off to PURA on that.
And Eversource just announced they're going to be carbon neutral. That's their goal by 2030, 10 years ahead of the governor's plan. So that's pretty impressive. But well, okay, now pension reform now.
Okay. On pension reform, I think what we have to do there is we have to see how the state's economy goes. I'm looking right now at getting too close to a 15% reserve fund, a rainy day fund, the one I was referring to in the tolling plan. That rainy day fund, once we get to 15%, will begin to push funds forward into the pension plan, so to further fund them. We're at about a 36 to 40% pension funding, which is pretty low. If you read commentary from other states, you want to be closer to 70 to 80% funded. That's a long row for us, or hard row to hoe, as they say. It's going to take us a long time to get there. But I'm mindful that the governor's, you know, been pretty on top of the game in terms of trying to make the pension payments rational and bearable for the state. So I think the next level in the reform will be, I think, in 2022, and when the CBAC agreement comes up, we'll have to see what the arrangements are with the employees of the state union and to see what kind of reforms we can make, particularly in healthcare costs.